The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
307 on the Central Coast. It is Monday, March 18th, 2024. I'm Dave Congleton, welcoming you to another edition, another week of Hometown Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us on this beautiful, beautiful day. Craig and I are with you all the way till 7 o'clock. A little bit of everything today. Straight ahead at 4:05, Brent Albanese is going to be here with her violin, which is reason enough to stick around. But we're going to talk about the power of music and the power of music therapy and the work that she has been doing lately as a certified music practitioner. At 5:05, what exactly happened at Cal Poly over the weekend and in surrounding neighborhoods? We're going to hear from one of the residents who's very concerned. Tom Franciscovich from Slow Life magazine is also going to sit in on that chat. I bet you will as well. Bill Ostrander at 6:05 looks back on Hollywood in the 80s. It is a Dave Congleton show, always your hometown radio talk show. First up, look who's here. The one, the only, Mr. Sports, Mitch Massey. Mitch, how are you?
Hey, it is Monday. It's 3 o'clock, and I'm here, you're here, and some things are consistent. The sun will come up every day, and you have a show every day. Wow, it's nice to be part of your universe.
Wow. How do I follow that?
Don't. I guess we're done.
I appreciate Mitch being here because we may bleed into other topics, but what prompted the invitation was people are beginning to complain more and more locally about the lack of sports coverage of high school sports. And, you know, back in the day, what years were you at KSBY?
82 to about 96.
Okay. So
pre-internet, yeah.
Pre-internet. But I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and all this time, the local news format has been the same. You got local news for about, why am I telling you? Then you go to weather, mm-hmm. and then you go to sports.
Yeah.
You go get your newspaper, you got your business, you got your politics, and you got your high school sports.
Yes.
But now, KSBY and the Tribune have really gutted their sports coverage. So I asked Mitch to come and explain what's going on.
When you look at it, and one simple answer is, hey, economically, it doesn't make us any money. You can always follow that. I think, again, if you have the right person doing it, you can make money, because when you look at companies that support so many entities, and I'll use high school sports as an example, you open up a football program, you see all of those who are supporting it as boosters, which then translates into money. That model today, if you say that's changed, I don't agree with that. That model in the days of advertising, which in television back in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, obviously was a cash cow. It did mm-hmm. a lot of good things. But those who wanted to advertise when we were doing our football show, when we were doing our Sunday sports show, were all these folks who were part of high school sports. They had their business. It translated because, hey, their daughter or their son was playing sports. It gave them an opportunity to have a bigger platform to a direction they were already emotionally attached to. And that attachment is still there. Now it's a matter of the value of importance that you want to put on the niche, which is sports, which many organizations will say, well, that might only be 4-10% of our viewing audience. Well, it's still a niche. It's still local, and it still is able to to move the needle. But the thing is, you have to invest into that needle moving. You have to have the right temperament in which to be able to be the messenger.
Well, but back up. They're saying 10%, but how much of the budget are they spending to cover sports? News takes a lot more because of all the different reporters and all the different stories that need to be covered.
Yes.
Sports, I would argue, not as much.
No, not as much. Good point, because when you look at, let's say, on the average of sportscasters given, let's call it 3.5 minutes to do a sportscast. Sometimes it's 2.5 minutes, but on the average, let's call it 3.5. In the golden days of the 80s and 90s, you got more like 5 minutes. But if you look at it and you want to look at cost per point, what it's cost to sponsor sports, just like if you looked at Dave Hovde's weather, what's it cost? Because he gets a lot of pull. He's the most popular. And you want to sponsor weather in just about any market because it can be the most watched part of a newscast. So there is money to be had. But again, you have to have someone within a community that says, you know what? I like watching them. They're the right messenger for it. Granted, the years that I spent there, I've had this love affair with the entire Central Coast, meaning to embrace it. And then when you have someone like, or 8 years, Andrew Masuda, he committed to it. You have a fellow now, I'm talking KSVY, you have a fellow now, Dylan Foreman, who has that same temperament, but he has not been given the vehicle in which to commit to local sports because they have decided that we're not going to tell those stories. We're going to just like do a sports feature here or there.
So remind me, because I don't see KSVY. What, I know they have this new format now.
Yes.
They no longer do sports on a nightly basis?
No, they do not. They do not have basically, hey, let's tune in. Let's say the Morro Bay girls basketball team is won a game and now they're going to their division championship. Let's do a nice feature the week leading up and do a couple stories on them and the players preparing and tell the story before you get to the epilogue, which would be the championship. They didn't have the opportunity to do that because they don't have a sports cast. They did do a feature when the team left, but then when the team plays, there's no one that's covering the game. There's nothing that's happening. So it's basically, we'll do this, we'll appease by doing a feature story, but we're missing all of the other undercurrents that really need to tell the story.
So they're only going to do sports when sports becomes news.
I guess in a way, yeah. It's like reading a book without a bunch of chapters. I want to be able to have the chapters leading to, you know, what is going to be this championship game or what's going to be this experience. And all these pages are missing, but that has been the direction that KSBY and their ownership group Scripps has taken. And so when you look at a local community, and especially when you look at the region that's set up here, Dave, sports teams, it's city versus city versus city versus city. It's not like there's 7 high schools in one city. Right. There is a pride factor that goes into Atascadero versus Paso, AG versus San Luis.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, Santa Barbara, when you go to San Marcos and the Santa Barbara Dons, I mean, there is a great sense of pride, and it's the experience of these young athletes that get to be showcased during a newscast that is bigger than life itself because it's on television. No matter how many social media outlets you can have, it still has this romanticism to it that people tune in for.
All right, we are tuning in to hear what Mitch Massey has to say as he explains recent cutbacks in local media coverage of high school sports. What's up with that? More to come. You're listening to Hometown Radio. I'm going to take a second here and highlight the fact that Thursday at 5 o'clock, we are going to have a conversation with State Senator John Laird and get his take about what is happening with Diablo Canyon and the conditions that he and others are laying down for continued operation of the plant. I invite you to tune in. Mitch Massey, a.k.a. Mr. Sports, is with us now. Several of you seem to be concerned about the fact that local media, TV, newspapers, we're cutting back on our coverage of high school sports. And Mitch is here to explain why. We've been talking about KSBY. But yet, Mitch, I'm confused because if you go down the road to Santa Barbara and KEYT, it's a totally different story.
It is. And what they've done is they've kept the personalities in their broadcast, which is when people tune in, especially on a local level more than anything else, there is this connection that is made, which is a core connection, which is to the community, and that happy talk kind of stuff where they interact with each other, that has great value, especially in smaller markets. I still think it has great value throughout what news is. So I think when you take out that human side of it, that's true interaction, then you are depriving your viewership of just feeling, hey, they're one of us, as opposed to being kind of AI directed. And so KUIT still has an abundance of talent. They've gone just the opposite way of what KSBY does.
Well, how are they affording it? Because you laid out KSBY, they're not making enough money and they're cutting. How is KUIT able to pull it off?
Well, I'm not in their sales department, but I guess they're doing okay with it. Yeah. I do know that historically they have pulled a lot of financing car dealers in the past from Ventura, so they can pull a lot of money in from the Ventura market because it's part of their viewing market. So I know that is substantial. And so they've been able to make it work. When you look at their you know, Friday Football Focus, which has been the leader on Friday nights, which then we started to implement there about 2 years ahead of us, starting back in the 80s. They have underwriters that are constantly there, which are supporters of the local market community. And so, and then when Mike Klan, who is their sports anchor, has been there for about 25 years, he does it the right way. They also, because of, he was at KCOY before KYT became KCOY when they bought them, Dave Alley. These are two guys that symbolize the soul of local sports, and it comes through, and they cover it to the way that's always been covered throughout the 80s, 90s plus.
It also sounds like they have figured out a way that it can be done. You can make high school sports coverage successful.
You can, and they've they're continuing the same model, which has been used for as long as I've lived here. So let's just say that model has been working since the mid-80s.
Meanwhile, at the Tribune, there's equally sad news. I joined the Telegram Tribune in August of 1989, and my desk was right down from the sports department. It was Eric Burdick, who's now at Cal Poly.
Legendary.
Pete Wallner, who's now out in Michigan.
Another legend.
Don, was it Ruth Meyer?
Ruth Meyer, yeah.
I didn't really know him that well.
Yeah.
So it was those three guys and then a series of stringers.
Yeah.
And the sports department is gone.
Yeah.
Nick Wilson, who was a reporter and is now at Cal Poly, contributes freelance coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But Tribune doesn't do high school sports as much.
No, it was, as I said, the era of doing that. And honestly, is when you came into this market from a television standpoint, the teacher of how to do local sports was Eric Burdick. He has stats. He covered local sports, unlike the way anyone can do it. So you knew when you opened up the paper what you're going to get. And as I said, it's not so much a dinosaur. The kids are still the kids. The coverage can still be there, but within the complete structure of this umbrella of what a newspaper is or a newscast is, sports plays a small part. But at the same point is, if it's going to be a niche market, what are you going to invest into that niche market? So it gets caught up into the whirlwind. Well, we can't make money in news, and you are part of that vehicle. So if news isn't doing it, well, we're not going to invest into sports because it's not going to carry us and underwrite what our newscast needs to be. But it's a very engaging, temperamental audience that really stays loyal. And if the loyalty goes away, then you have no sports department.
And I'm not going to ignore the fact that I'm working in radio. I don't listen to ESPN radio, but I imagine they're mostly national radio. They don't do much local coverage. We have Scott Taylor does a local sports. Well, he does a sports wrap up every hour, but most of that is national.
Sure. Yeah. It just depends where you want, where you have the people power in which to be able to focus into it. So if you're going to do local sports, I mean, the thing about it that you can get are a bunch of stringers from different schools. I know there's another local radio station, and what they do is, but it's a sports radio station. And so what they do is they have stringers at different high schools that send information in, and you're able to get coverage that way. So,
and they do that for free?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, they get underwriters for underwriting. So let's say you have an Aurora Grande booster that really likes his local sports teams.
I see.
Well, he underwrites it, and they have the sports report sponsored by so-and-so. So there's ways around it. It just falls into how much do we want to invest into a small part of this pie as opposed to the larger one. And I've always thought there is value. You can look at value in every market in America for local sports, and it's still, for most markets, is something that is still invested into because it's important. So if you say in Texas, well, we're not going to have our high school football roundup on Fridays anymore. Well,
they'd then, shoot you in Texas.
Yes, then you wouldn't have a newscast anymore. So I said, you know, it's give and take. It's give and take. Yes, here there's always been an emphasis on Cal Poly, but the local people are really the high school people that want to watch.
Let's take a call. We have Bill up in Templeton on KVEC. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi.
Mitch.
Hi, Bill.
I think you know which Bill this is. Former head coach.
Oh, God, yes. Exactly. School. Yes. Go Bearcats.
Yeah. Hey, Bill.
Hi. Well, very interesting that you guys are bringing this up. I wrote an email to KSBY about this, and a lot of people locally have done the same and got kind of a generic response, thank you, we appreciate your input type of thing. But I think this is really short-sighted, and one thing that bothers me, and I don't know what the answer is going to be, KSBY has been a great sponsor of the high school football All-Star game, which is played the first week in June, and is a major fundraiser for the high schools from Lompoc up to Paso Robles, and I really hope they continue to do that. There's, you know, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people that attend this game, and they every week would bring on this feature a school with the players from that school and the sponsors, which are major people up in this area and down South County and all the way down to Lompoc, a lot of car dealerships and restaurants and so forth. And, you know, I just think that losing the local flair and the newspaper, Dan Ruthmeyer, I just loved what he used to do. And Mitch, I mean, you know, Dave, when Paso played at Atascadero for the CIF championship in 1983, Mitch had a limousine come out and pick Larry Welsh and myself up and bring us into the studio, and he did a complete profile on the game.
Wow.
You know, those things can still happen, but it has to be a commitment, and then just as important is, you know, a messenger, meaning the person that needs to make it happen, needs to have that investment. But if your parent, so to speak, won't let you out of the house to invest into that, then you just stay in your room and you try to make things up. But you can't have that emotional connection to the core of what makes it happen. You can't make a difference.
But I got 45 seconds, guys. What can Bill do to influence KSBY or the Tribune? I don't want to just pick on KSBY.
No.
They wrote their letters. Is there anything else they can do?
No, I would say, well, now KSBY doesn't have a general manager, but I think the thing to do is, you know, sit down with the news directors and just say, you want some one-on-one time. Have someone explain the direction and see if that goes anywhere. Everything good starts with a conversation.
Anything else you want to say, Bill?
Well, I just appreciate you guys covering this because I can tell you up here in the North County, it is a major concern, and to have to rely on a Santa Barbara station to cover our local athletes just doesn't feel right.
I'm glad you called, Bill. Thank you very much. We're going to go to news and traffic and weather. I'm Dave Congleton. Please remember, if it's happening in the community, we're talking about it on Hometown Radio. We have for 32 years. We're going to keep on doing it. And we're so glad that Mitch is here. We're glad that you're here as well. We continue. Stay with us. All right, so here's the drill. We're talking about local media, specifically about sports, specifically about the fact that we have seen lately a decline in coverage of local high school sports. Why is that? Veteran broadcaster, all-around man about town, Mitch Massey is my guest, explaining what is happening at KSBY and the Tribune, and contrasting that with what they're doing down in Santa Barbara with KEYT. If you want into the conversation, join us at any point on the phone or with a text, 805-543-8830. You can also reach us at 800-549-5832 as we chat with Mitch. One, before I forget, one place I want to give a shout out to is what they're doing out in Los Osos at Estero News. They're continuing to cover local high school sports. Now, they don't come out enough. You know, it'd be nice if they were a daily paper, but they're trying. And the gang out there is doing a good job.
I think there's, you pick, yes, and you look at it, what kind of vehicles get the most recognition. And when you look again at the entity of television, and yes, you can make all sorts of supporting statements about social media, which has its place, and a lot will look to that. But there is something about the ability in which to be part of a newscast, and which then makes it feel larger than what it should be. But that's also the beauty of what it is. And so when you're dealing with high school kids and it's their varsity season and they get to see how they're participating, it's a great talking point. And it's something, that feeling that lives with them for many years.
We got a Jack Grover on KVEC. Hey, Jack.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Jack.
Hello, Mitch.
Hi, Jack.
I have to say, I'm not trying to kiss up, but I sure miss the days when Mitch was on there.
Me too. Yep.
You're very kind. Thank you.
I actually think the problem is maybe even deeper and maybe a little more complicated. Mitch has enlightened me a lot of what's going on there, but it seems to me that the quality of the on-air talent has gotten, I don't know, I want to be kind, but they're certainly a lot younger, and I just don't think they have the same level of professionalism. You know, obviously Dave Hovde is awesome.
Yes.
But it seems to me that, and maybe it's an effort to be able to buy the talent on air for less money. I don't know. But it just seems to me that the overall talent pool has gone down, especially on KSBY. I mean, there was a time when, you know, you could almost put their lineup against any local channels, you know, in California.
Yes.
And I just don't think that's not the case anymore, you know.
What do you think, Mitch?
It comes down to simple economics. You're only going to pay so much. Richard Gerhard has been there since, I think, the station started. I mean, realistically, about, I think, 33 years or something.
Long time.
Yeah, he's just really comfortable. He doesn't get you overly excited. He doesn't take you that. He is just steady, man. He's like a marathon runner. Steady,
yep.
Gives you the news. And you can take it, and he's trusted. And that's the most important thing any news anchor can do. Do you feel trusted by the information? And he's been very solid for all these years. So he's very comfortable for a viewing audience. But yes, to be complimented by, let's say, a co-anchor or other anchors, they have made tremendous cutbacks, all financially, because you can't pay for all the talent.
Yeah, but Jack, I think it's not a quote exactly, but I thought you said something on social media that you were done with KSBY.
Well, I didn't say I was done. I just said they had become a joke. I did make a comment they had become a joke. And I was, I don't know. The one evening I was watching it, and it was just one dumb story after another. There was zero sports. There was a time, and Mitch can back this up, you not only had high school sports, you had Cal Poly. You know, they were reporting on Major League Baseball. They were reporting on the NBA. You know, of course, the internet's changed a lot of that. I don't necessarily need the 11 o'clock news to tell me if the Dodgers won or not, but I sure enjoyed seeing it. I liked the highlights, and that's all gone.
Let's talk about that, Jack. Good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. So,
thank you, Jack.
Has television been replaced by the internet?
Well, I'm going to go back to Mike Klein at KYT, and the thing about it is you just want some consistency. You know when you tune in, you know what you're going to get, and that would be, okay, someone's going to touch on local. They're going to bring you a human interest story, possibly. They're going to touch on your college team. They're going to touch on your professional team. So what you do is it's like in sports, they call it a five-tool player that you can run, hit, you have speed, all sorts of things. You know, and that's what a sportscast needs to be. It needs to be local. It needs to have your college. It needs to have human interest. It needs to touch on pro. And it needs to make you smile at the end. Now, the ultimate best sportscaster, and I was his intern years ago, over 40 years at KNBC in Los Angeles, is Fred Rogan. Yeah. If you want to know how to do a local sports cast that hits all elements and had a strong female viewership because they could relate to what he did and the way he presented it, Fred Rogan did it the right way. Mike Klein has a piece of that, which makes it, you know what? I can watch it, I can laugh, I can smile, but I'm getting what it is
but maybe
I want.
The whole point of it, Mitch, is that the idea of a 30-minute newscast is now outdated. I mean, it certainly is on the national level.
Yeah.
NBC News, ABC, I couldn't even name you the anchors.
Yeah. Well, it is because we're oversaturated by too much information. We want it now. We want this. But there is something that goes to, and it hasn't changed, is that local sports is just that, local high school sports, because what you have in this community is you have city versus city versus city versus city. Each high school has their own city that they represent, unlike larger communities where there could be 3, 4, or 5 high schools in one community. So that brings even a greater sense of pride. So when you're involving yourself into the culture of those communities, just know that orange goes with the Tascadero, crimson goes with Paso, green is Templeton. You need to know your color chart, and then you can invest into this sense of pride and culture that are these communities, because it's community competing with community for local sports dominance.
So why doesn't KSBY do what the Tribune has done? They have the reporter John Lynch. I think he does a good job with the housing stuff.
Yeah.
But he's not on salary. He's funded through a grant, and then the readers contribute money to pay his salary. So why doesn't KSBY, I know you don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
It's a rhetorical question, but why doesn't KSBY just say, okay, you want sports? Let's have you help us pay for the sports reporter.
It's kind of like hiring a consultant to do your job. And so you have stringers, let's pay them. They'll feed the information. That is a part, KYT on Friday Football Focus. They have certain stringers that help them do that. There's ways to do it. But again, it has to be part of your playbook. What commitment are you going to make for this segment of local sports? And are you going to give it enough time in which to be able to at least touch and tell a story?
So what are they doing now instead of sports?
They're doing
just more stories.
They're doing features, and the stories are good. But let's say, for example, our sports today is going to be a 2-minute feature on a particular athlete or a situation or an environment. And they use that as saying, this is what we're doing for sports, because their research, I can only guess, is telling them they want more features.
So it's more like the Olympics. Those up close and personal stories.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to get.
But you
locally.
Still, what do people talk about? Okay, who won the gold medal? The competition. They still talk about the competition. You want to make them feel good, but all of a sudden you make them feel good, but then there's no competition, which is really the driver in all of it. So the feature complements what the end result viewers want to see.
All right, Mitch Massey, nice enough to come in and explain to us what is happening with the media coverage of local sports, especially high school sports. We'll come back for a final segment. We're live, we're local, we're hometown.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Mitch Massey is here on the Stolberg line. Larry checks in. Hey, Larry. Mitch's observations confirm the starving of local print and electronic media by the concentration of advertising power by Google, Facebook, and YouTube platforms that attract the local advertising dollars that otherwise would have financed local sports and news coverage by local outlets. Are your callers desiring more local sports coverage, willing to divert their advertising buys to local media instead of going to the national social media platforms? What an outstanding text message.
Yeah, it's a valid point. Again, it's where do you feel your money is giving you the greatest abilities in which to make your cash register make some noise.
But I want to underscore that if people are sitting around bitching about, well, KSBY dropped my local coverage of my favorite team. Meanwhile, in your business, you're just advertising on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hello, there's a connection.
Well, because it's the connection, which is one of them is really when you advertise on TV, and I've always believed this, and people will say, well, there's going to be some other facts here. It depends how much awareness do you want for your organization, and TV is a beautiful awareness. You're able to touch emotion and build awareness. Now, if you want to start getting a bunch of clicks to see where are people going to buy my product, then maybe TV is not the direction for you. But if you want to build awareness, I've always thought, man, no greater vehicle than television to build awareness because it has that emotional pull to it.
If you want in on this conversation with Mr. Massey, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Meanwhile, I want to throw in the other topic, March Madness, because we have a text on the Stolberg line. A listener wants to know whether or not Long Beach State is going to be this year's Cinderella team. Already Mitch is laughing.
Oh, it's great. Dan Monson, I got to know when I went from KSBY, I went to Crim Television in Spokane, Washington, and I was there the first year Gonzaga ever made it to the NCAA tournament, which was in 95-96, and Dan Monson was an assistant coach, and then he became the head coach, and had great success there getting them to the Elite Eight. He's been at Long Beach for 17 years, and he's a lame duck coach because before the Big West tournament started, he became like, hey, we've decided to part ways. When my last game is over, that'll be my last game here. They've gone through, and they've swept and won the Big West tournament. They're in the NCAA tournament, so it's a true Cinderella story. Now they play Arizona. Let's go Long Beach State and Dan Monson, who says, well, when I lose, that's my last game at this university. Maybe they'll reconsider and bring him back after this run. It's a great story.
I'll sanitize this next text message on the Stolberg line. Listener, let's just say, is not a fan of KSBY News and doesn't understand why people would want to advertise on it. It was good years ago, but not for a long time.
I agree. It just depends. What do you want out of your relationship? And when you look at it and say, hey, what I could interact with and what I wanted to feel, it's not the same anymore. So if I'm going to take my money, but that's not the way I'm going to feel, then you don't invest that way. And that's what's unfortunate.
So who are you rooting for in March Madness?
Well, you know, it started.
Who's the exciting team?
It started in 1939, and just, you know, I have liked Iowa State. My oldest son does the brackets with the family, and I have taken Iowa State. Most will take UConn because that's an obvious choice, but I like Iowa State, which means I'll probably go out in the first round. But you know what? This is all for fun. But what's really interesting, Dave, I know when we chatted about this, is what does March Madness do to local economies of scale? Basically, about $17 billion are in corporate losses attributed to distracted employees watching games.
$17 billion.
And the average employee who bets, who makes places a bet in the tournament, will watch about 6 hours. And now, obviously, with remote working, who knows how much they'll be watching. But when you look at the efficiency model for business, they've been able to calculate about $17 billion of good, efficient work will be lost in 2024. And when you basically want to say, well, if you're going to watch this, how about if I want to win the bracket? Well, here's a word that I don't use too often. One out of quintillion chance to have a perfect bracket, which means you have to win all 67 games. That's 19 digits. I had to look it up. What does 19 digits quantify as? It's quintillion. So, and $16 billion will be bet on the NCAA tournament.
Has anyone done it?
Oh, no. No one's ever come close. The most is someone got 49 straight at one time back in 2019, but then just collapsed after that. But, you know, it's ESPN's brackets. They have over 20 billion brackets that people will do just on ESPN alone, and $16 billion bet, which is basically the same number as the Super Bowl. So it is a culture that goes on for about 3 weeks that people engage with. And to give equal time, and I'll just do this because it deserves equal time, North Carolina, Purdue, Houston, UConn, the top four seeds on the men's side, Iowa and their outstanding star, Caitlin Clark, South Carolina, USC, yes, go Trojans, and JoJo Watkins and their star freshman, and Texas. So what's interesting, women's basketball has two established stars that are basically within the vernacular of sport. The men's game doesn't have those kind of stars, and the women's game has two prominent stars that you can relate to.
I can name Caitlin Clark. Who's the other one?
JoJo Watkins.
Okay, I don't know her.
Yeah, who's a freshman at USC and the second leading scorer in the country. But yeah, you can name these two great women basketball players, but on the guy side, hey, give me two great names.
And Caitlin Clark is special because she broke the record?
Yeah, she's the all-time leading scorer in the history of men or women's college basketball. Broke Pete Maravich's record, but at the same point, he only played 3 years and they didn't have a three-point line. But the record was there and she broke it. She's fun to watch like Pete Maravich was. She can handle it and do well.
So is media starting to cover women's sports more now?
Well, when you look at the NCAA tournament, the last 2 years, attendance in the tournament has continued to go up. So does it have the big TV contract that March Madness has? No. But does it have more identification this year with two big stars playing? It will continue to be advanced. And then when you get into name, image, likeness,
NIL. But the stars, that is what brings the media attention because she's so good.
Yeah.
Then the media will cover her.
Yes.
I think it's kind of like Cal Poly. Why don't we cover Cal Poly sports more?
Because there aren't any great individual stars.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That's a diplomatic way of saying it.
Yeah, there just aren't. Right. And you're not expecting that because of the level of what
they
play.
But if one of these teams, men or women, in any of these sports became red hot, I think they'd get coverage.
Oh, of course.
Because then there would be news.
Yes, because basketball is such a individual star-studded sport that you go and you get to see, let's say, a Michael Jordan type or a LeBron James type. You go because of the star you get to see, not so much the team, the stars within these good teams. You're going because of the star quality. And that's where baseball has been lacking. But with Shohei Ohtani, obviously, now with the Dodgers, and they're in Seoul, South Korea, it's going to be, they're going to see him play. You must have stars. You must have players.
Mm. And he'll deliver on this baseball question. He's going to have a good year?
Oh, yes. And, you know, I can give you 700 million reasons why. Yeah. Yeah, but people come to see him. He's part of the Dodgers. I want to see him play. And that's the way it is. You know, locally, the greatest local high school athlete I've ever seen, ever will see, is Napoleon Kaufman. Napoleon Kaufman was the nation's premier running back when he was in high school. And so you would go to watch him play. And all these local, and their team was good, but all these locals, arenas and fields, people came to watch him play, and there's never been anything like him.
I like this question on the Stolberg line. A listener wants to know, what was the team, what was the sport, the one that impressed you the most in your years at KSBY?
There would be two, and they're both events. One would be when Paso Robles and Atascadero played each other for a league championship. Then 4 weeks later, they played for a CIF championship at Paso Robles' intimate little field. That captured what local sports is all about. And right behind that, on the heels of that, was when Napoleon Kaufman and Alon Polk played Aurora Grande, who 4 weeks previous they played for the league championship. Then they played for the CIF championship, which Alon Polk won 12 to 7 in a packed Cal Poly stadium. That 11,000 people had packed that stadium 2 hours before the game even started. Those moments basically sit on a cloud that's a dreamlike environment that really represented a very special time for not only those athletes, but for local sports to talk about.
Whatever happened to Napoleon Kauffman?
Well, he went to Washington, University of Washington, all-time leading rusher, played 6 years with the Raiders, stepped away from his million-dollar contract. He's been a pastor, a Baptist minister, pastor for a church in the East Bay for, gosh, maybe it's about 20 years now. Yeah, I just communicated with him about 2 months ago because he wanted to bring the family to Hearst Castle, and it's just fun. You know, I met him when he was in sixth grade. So you just get to be part of these kids' lives, and that's what's the coolest thing about local sports is you met them at a certain time, and then you get to see them advance. And a local kid from Paso Robles who's been in the NFL now for 4 years, Josh Oliver, as a tight end, grew up with my son. You just get to be part of the essence of these growing opportunities of their lives, and you get to tell stories along the way. And what a good place to be, not only for them, but for we the storytellers.
What a good place to end. I only have a minute left. I'm going to cancel all my other guests so Mitch can stick around and tell even more story. You must miss the KSBY gig. You must miss that.
It's always going to be a first live, Dave, just because of the way the timing was and being in the industry in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. It was a special time to do it. Now, obviously, to be part of that with what the internet is and all the responsibilities to social media, what that has done, it's taken away the intimate one-on-one abilities in which to get to know local folks in the community just because you're trying to hit so many deadlines. So that's what I always miss, and I always will be identified. And this last week, I was coming out of a store, and some guy walks up to me, "You're Mitch Massey, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, yes, what's your name?" "Oh, you don't remember me. I was 11 years old, and you're doing a sports challenge with our swim team down at the beach, lifeguard team. And I was 11. He's now in his 40s. So I don't know. One of us felt older. But it's that kind of stuff, man. You get to make a difference in someone's life.
Always good to see you, Mitch. Thanks
Great
for the
to
time.
See you.
Thanks for the
Thank
conversation.
You.
Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Here comes the 4 o'clock hour. I'm Dave Congleton.